a little touch. The megacity buzzed with a meter that no way stopped. Neon lights blinked against the background of glass halls, and the noise of auto cornucopias mingled with rush steps. Amidst a grim pace of civic life, Maya felt like a tail, quiet, soft, nearly unnoticeable. She worked at a cozy bookshop, put away into the corner of a bustling quarter. It was a kind of place with rustic shelves that creaked, the scent of old paper, and music that played just vocally enough to make you feel like you were in on a secret. Maya loved it there. She was the keeper of stories, the guardian of forgotten verses, the gentle smile behind the counter. But indeed, in that world of wonder, she frequently felt alone. Her life passed like the turning runners of a worn-out new, affable but predictable. Until the morning he walked by, Liam was unlike anyone Maya had ever met. He wasn't loud or demanding. In fact, he slightly spoke. But when he stepped into the shop, it was as if the room shifted slightly, realigned itself. He'd storm, slate eyes that looked like they carried the weight of two numerous studies, and hands that twitched slightly, as though they wanted to reach for commodity but didn't know how. "Can I help you?" Maya asked that first day, her voice softer than usual. Liam looked up, startled. Poetry. Commodity gentle. Maya guided him to a corner where the muses lived. She handed him a dupe of Pablo Neruda's Love Runes, her fritters grazing his. It was just a little touch, but it set Commodity in stir. He returned the coming day. And the coming. Always silent, always with quiet urgency in his eyes. Maya began to anticipate him. She started saving books for him, scribbling notes on bookmarks. "This one reminded me of the way your eyes crinkle when you read." He began writing back. Short expressions put away inside books, the world makes further sense then. "You see me, indeed, when I do and speak." The exchange grew into commodity sacred. They still slightly spoke audibly, but their paper discussion flourished. Liam brought his journal one stormy evening and left it on the counter. "You can read it," he said, "if you want to know me." Inside were sketches of megacity corners, compliances, runes, and studies too heavy for speech. There was one line Maya kept returning to asterisk, "I no way believe in deliverance, but now I believe in small courtesies. I believe in her hands." The season changed. Afterlife bled into downtime. One evening, Liam didn't come. Also a week passed. Maya waited, hiding her solicitude behind half grins. When 2 weeks turned into a month, she set up herself holding his journal like it was a lifeline. One night, she walked to the megacity sanitarium. A hunch? A feeling? She didn't know. But there, in the psychiatric sect, she set up Liam. He looked thinner, pale. His hands quivered. "Maya," he rumored. She jounced, stepping forward, and touched his hand. It was just a little touch. But it said everything. Winter strengthened. Snow softened the edges of the megacity, stifling the business and casting a quiet spell across rooftops and thoroughfares. Maya visited the sanitarium every day. She brought books, warmth, and the kind of stillness that did not demand anything from Liam. He was sluggishly recovering, though the murk didn't leave his eyes fluently. The croakers explained that Liam had been living with habitual depression and anxiety for times, compounded by the insulation of megacity life. There had been no dramatic event, no extremity, just a slow corrosion of light. But Maya's presence sounded to bring Commodity back. She read to him, beginning with their participated pets Neruda, Rilke, Mary Oliver. Occasionally, he would close his eyes and let her voice marshland over him. Occasionally, he would intrude with a line of his own, a study, a memory. They spoke more now, words blooming cautiously like snowdrops breaking through firm soil. Liam told her about his nonage in a small deep water city, about a family he lost, about the way megacity lights no way let him sleep. Maya told him about her dreams of being a pen, about the story she carried in her pockets like lucky charms, about the way she always felt like a background character in everyone differently story. "You were no way in the background," Liam told her one evening, his voice firmer now. "You just demanded someone who looked directly at you." They started writing together, pages filled with short sketches, recollections, fictional escapes. The nursers loved their stories and frequently posted them on the staff board. It made Liam smile. A real bone. On Christmas Eve, Maya brought a small tree to his room. Bitsy paper cranes hung from its branches, each folded from runes. She gave him a gift, a new leather-bound journal hand-sutured, with his initials embossed. "It's time for a new chapter," she said. Liam opened the first runner and wrote, "Hope arrive in soft shoes and a tail." By mid-January, he was discharged. The shop felt warmer with Liam in it. He returned not as a client, but as a mate. Together, he and Maya began hosting poetry nights, small jotting shops, and tea gatherings where people came to partake their voices. Word spread. The formerly quiet bookshop became a haven for romanticists and healers, for broken hearts and blooming minds. There was horse laugh now and music. The shelves held not just books, but paper hearts, handwritten notes, participated admissions. Maya and Liam no way demanded grand affirmations. Their love grew in the spaces between silence and essay, in ganders that dallied, in participated mugs of coffee, in the joy of discovering a beautiful judgment. One spring evening, Maya set up a folded paper beneath her favorite volume of Neruda. It was from Liam. Asterisk. "You were no way just a little touch. You were the runner that turned my life. Will you keep writing it with me?" She turned to find him behind her, holding a ring fashioned from twine and a daisy stem. "Yes," she rumored. They married under the old maple tree behind the shop, with runners of poetry threaded like bunting and musketeers reading audibly their favorite lines. It wasn't lavish, but it was perfect. Times passed. The bookshop grew. So did their story. When children asked them how they fell in love, Maya would smile and say, "It started with a little touch." But Liam would add, "And it no way stopped growing." Because love, real love, doesn't always arrive in booms or sweeping gestures. Occasionally, it begins with a tale, a lyric, a hand held a little longer than necessary. Occasionally, it begins in the quiet corners of a bookshop with just a little touch.